take a short lifestyle detour from the news of the world. Here's Jenna Barr and the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Ruthie C. This half hour is presented by the Florida Department of Health in Escambia County, who is responsible for the information and opinions expressed during the show.
The Pensacola Expert Panel. It's a little after 10:35 here in studio, and you're listening to News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Jenna Barr, and I am in studio with Marie today from the Health Department. I am super excited. I know it's been a crazy morning. It's been a crazy year already, but how are you today?
I'm doing well today, thanks. It's nice to be working with you. I've heard you on a few shows. I don't get to listen all the time, but I did notice that you were here, and so my first time to really kind of get to meet you.
Yeah, it's going to be, I'm really excited and honored for this opportunity and to be able to, you know, reach out into the community, give people some information that they need, answer questions maybe that they have, help direct people to the right areas, and hopefully give encouragement along the way. At the end of the day, that's what I want. Just maybe leave a little sparkle of enthusiasm and joy at the end of our show. So no pressure. So tell us, I know we look forward to our update from the Health Department. First, why don't you tell people your role and what you do?
Okay. Well, I am the administrator of the Health Department here in Escambia County. Most people are very familiar with Dr. Lanza, who was the director here for many years and retired last summer. And so I've been in that role since he retired. And so I'm still, usually I was here as a sidekick to him. And so this is kind of a different experience for me to be here as the health officer. But
I love it.
It's been interesting and a very rewarding job so far. So.
Right, and I can imagine just the pressure that comes with this, especially coming on in the middle of a pandemic. Girl, you hold your own, I have to say. And it takes a lot. People, there's always going to be the negative people, always going to be the naysayers. But at the end of the day, when you're looking out for the health, safety, and well-being of our community, that's what matters, and you know your heart, and I know that you guys are working your tails off to make our community healthier and safer, so thank you for that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
So just in the past few weeks, what has kind of come into the new news with the Health Department?
Just a couple of updates, maybe not related to COVID, just for awareness. Yesterday, February the 7th, was National Black HIV/AIDS Awareness Day. Mm. And that's an annual observance meant to increase HIV education, testing, treatment, and involvement among Black communities nationwide. And so we participated in a community observance yesterday downtown at our facility on Gregory Street. And so there was testing available and some education for people, and really just encouraging the community to get tested and know their status. So that was an interesting and important observance that, I don't want to fall in the shadows of COVID. So.
Because there is still that epidemic that's there as well, and it's not really spoken about a lot. And really, education and prevention and the testing is key in being able to obviously prevent it or know that you have it and be able to get the proper treatment as
right
well.
Right. The important thing about knowing, and this goes for anybody, not just the Black community, but this just happened to be an observance for the Black community. We're in Black History Month,
right?
But we have several observances throughout the year related to HIV and AIDS, and just getting tested is the first big step. Knowing your status is very important, because when you can get into treatment, you could possibly live a long and healthy life. I mean, it's not, back in the late 80s and early 90s when HIV was kind of emerging, it was very scary and there was not a lot of treatment. But now there are options for treatment, and
right.
And people can, now we worry about these people, you know, having chronic diseases of aging because they are living long and healthy lives. So it's just they've kind of come into the fold of the things that we normally experience as we age. So that's a kind of a good thing that,
okay,
you know,
yeah,
that they're living those longer lives. And then the other thing is when you are in treatment and you are controlling the illness or the virus in your body, then it makes it much more difficult to spread and can possibly even be untransmittable. So it's important on that.
So safety for others too. We want to keep you safe and healthy, find out if you have it, and then that'll help you get the treatment you need and be able to live a normal life, a somewhat normal life. Now, we talked about it is Black History Month. You had this awareness day and observance day. Are there other testing days coming up? Does this happen rather regularly? How does that go about just helping low-income communities? Not just the Black community, but I'm talking everybody across the board who kind of just can't afford or doesn't even know just the proper route to take in getting tested.
There's often events that involve partners or our staff going out into the community and do testing, and you know, those are kind of I don't want to say random, but they're frequent.
Okay, yeah.
And then we do have regular what we call a late clinic testing, usually the first Thursday of the month at our facility, and that's not late, but it's, you know, 4:30. You can come in at the end of the day and still be seen for HIV testing. I was looking to see if we have the next month's because we just had ours up on our calendar.
Okay.
But it should be coming up the first Thursday of March. So that would be, what, the 4th, 5th?
It's going to be here before you know it. We have just watched time fly. So it's important to kind of, if you're listening, you're in the car and you're wondering, like, when can I get that testing done? You know, and just to for peace of mind, go ahead and look that up. And you can find that information on the health department website.
Correct. EscambiaHealth.com.
Awesome.
And we have programs and services of all sorts, but that's where we'll find. You find our HIV, AIDS. Usually at those clinics, I think we have some STD testing as well. But that's another, you know, another service, maybe another topic, another time. We can talk a little bit more about that. And then our HIV program, we also offer what we call PrEP, which is pre-exposure prophylaxis. So someone that is maybe at risk for exposure, like someone who has a partner who is positive, can get a PrEP treatment. So that would be a daily medication that they would take to reduce the risk of actually, you know, if it were transmitted in some form or fashion, of them contracting HIV as well. So,
okay.
So that's another service that we have at the health department that people can access if needed.
Excellent. And y'all can answer those questions too, whether you check out the website or check out the number on the website as well, and look at those days where you can go in and get that PrEP done so you can keep yourself safe and healthy as well. And it's, you know, I have to say, like, some people might turn the channel, like, that was a little weird to talk about, but it's important. Health and safety is important. And I know we are caught up in the COVID, social distancing, wearing your mask and washing your hands, doing those things just to, you know, be a decent human being, and keeping yourself and others safe. But also, you know, there are other things that are happening too within our community, within our country and our state, that, you know, just fly under the radar and we don't really get to see them highlighted enough. And so checking out the health department website as well will help you kind of see, hey, what else is going on that maybe you can help out a little bit in your community with, and spread the news in your area as well. It's not here to scare you. No, it's here to help you.
Right. Exactly. And then let's see, what else can we talk about today? One of the things that I think I talked about last time, I know I talked about it the time before that I was here, is hepatitis A. So we're having, you know, some issues with that in the community. We've had issues in Florida since about 2018 with hepatitis A kind of flaring up in different communities. And so we kind of talked a little bit. I've talked with Ruthie about that. I'm pretty sure I talked with Wendy about that way back when. But it's another viral disease, and it can be spread a couple of ways. One is in a similar way to HIV, so kind of blood and body fluid type exposure. And then the other one is, and this is not a real pretty way to describe it, but it's called the fecal-oral route. So it's when you touch something that's contaminated, and it's usually contaminated with poop, for lack of a better word.
Right.
And it's not poop that you would see. It's just maybe somebody didn't wash their hands well and or wash their hands at all. And then touch the doorknob on the way out of the bathroom, and then you touch the doorknob, even though you may have washed your hands.
The transfer effect.
Right. And it can cause liver disease. So that's a vaccine-preventable disease as well. So we can immunize people for that. And that's available at most of your commercial pharmacies. We have it at the health department. And and so, that's something. If you haven't been vaccinated, and if you're around 20 or younger, you probably have been vaccinated, because kids are now vaccinated as part of routine children's vaccines.
Sure.
But somebody my age did not get that as a child. So I had to go in and have the vaccine series. It's, I think, two shots over about 6 months. One day one and one 6 months later. And that can be protective for hepatitis A. The other part of preventing hepatitis A is good hand washing, and it's, and it's hand washing. It's not hand sanitizing.
Okay.
So soap and water, friction, good rinse, and then try not to touch surfaces you don't have to.
Right. So. And I mean, it's just like going throughout this past year and the emphasis in washing your hands, which, I mean, it was emphasized when I was little. You come inside, you wash your hands. Before you eat, you wash your hands. After you handle something, you wash your hands. You definitely wash your hands after you use the restroom. But, even I have to tell you, I'll be out around town or wherever I am, and I'll see people. This is the biggest one. Okay, so I'm just going to go on a tangent here, Marie. So hold on. People who take their cell phones into the toilet stall with them. All right, listen, this is a pet peeve, and so I'm just going to jump up here. This is my soapbox. Listen, I know that it's a break or whatever you have to do in between your shifts, or maybe you have to just run to the restroom and take that call, but I'll tell you, touching that little slider hook thing, that latch to get in and out of the bathroom, there's probably the matter, I'll just say it like that, the matter on that. They don't disinfect it as often because they're more worried about the toilet seat, the flusher, the little spouts and everything that we touch the door handles. But when you touch that, and you're touching your phone, you're putting it on your phone, you're putting the phone near your mouth, you're doing all these things, or your kids are playing with the phone. First of all, sanitize your phones too, because that will be helpful, and you can do that in numerous ways. Look up the appropriate way so you don't ruin your phone. But being mindful too when you're going in and out, like even of, and I, my kids laugh at me, I've taught them this just throughout the years of the flu season, which can scare somebody. If you've had somebody who's experienced a really hard flu, it'll scare you. And so knowing, hey, after you wash your hands, before you push that handle back down, grab a paper towel. Mm-hmm. If you don't have it, use your elbow. Try to, minimize all the surfaces. And it's not, a germophobia, right? Because some people will get teased about it. And I understand building a good immune system. But how much tolerance can your immune system have to the matter? And we're, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. We're getting an update with the health department, and as well as just giving you maybe some tips in life on how to just minimize possible contaminants and exposure to things. Like we were talking about Hep A and HIV, and just knowing that the health department is looking out for your well-being and trying to protect you and your loved ones and keep our community safe so we can thrive here and have a really good long life. And washing your hands isn't just for COVID, it's for your all-around safety and health and well-being.
That is so true. I couldn't have said it better
myself. I've stepped off my soapbox. Okay.
But yes, the cell phone is one of those things that I think we don't think about, how much we touch it and how much it touches other things. That's a really good example. And another one is money. Anytime you're handling money, make sure you wash your hands. Money passes so quickly and fluidly. I mean, maybe some people don't use cash, but.
Right.
But
or even your credit card. Somebody touches it a lot. You're using that same credit card over and over again. Mm-hmm. It won't hurt it. Just do a dab of alcohol on it and wipe over it real quick. I don't know if Lysol will rub all the things off of it, but it does help too, to just be able to be mindful of those little things that you just don't think about because you're just trying to live your life. And then you touch your face, whether you're putting your mask on and you accidentally put your hand in your mouth, or you go to have a snack. I'm a snacker. I love them, keeping them in my car. But then after I pump gas, I'm like, oh, well, I can't, you know, wash my hands. They don't have hand washing stations, but sanitizing them real quick and then trying to not touch my face right after, you know. But I love all this information and being able to know that we're looking out for you as well. Yeah. So do you have anything coming up on the calendar with the health department?
Well, I'm trying to think if there's anything, any major events like the one we just had yesterday. You know, we can talk a little bit about the, you know, the elephant in the room, and that's COVID vaccine. Everybody wants to know about it. So I'll talk a little bit about that. I do want to just remind everybody there is a website. It's FloridaHealthCOVID19.gov. That is the State of Florida Department of Health website for all things COVID. And there's a lot of interesting things on that website. So before we get into to COVID vaccine, we'll kind of go over that.
And hey, before we jump right into the COVID vaccine, we actually do have a caller. He decided to call. I guess he might have a question. Bruce from Gulf Breeze, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Really appreciate the information being put out this morning. Thank you very much. I thought I'd mention a couple things that I've kind of done over the last, I guess, 6 or 8 months. You know, in a number of the stores out there, many of them are selling what I call the door opener keychain. It's kind of that device that you can grip a handle or an entry to a door without touching it with your hand. And as you had mentioned, a lot of people touch, door handles, door pulls, and this door opener keychain, if you will. It's not a keychain, but you put it on your keychain to pull doors open or whatnot without actually touching them yourself. And you can use the pointed end, the rounded pointed end, you know, to push buttons in an elevator and that sort of thing, which also get manhandled by a lot of people.
Yeah.
And then the other item, many credit card companies are now sending out to their, I guess you call them subscribers, contactless credit cards. So you just tap it on a device that's at the store, so you don't have to touch anything, and the cashier doesn't have to touch your credit card. So I'm not an expert on that, but I've received them from two of my credit card companies, and I'm using them. So just thought I'd pass that along.
Wow. Thank you, Bruce. Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate that. And any tips and tricks you might have, too, we'd love to hear from you. You can text them in as well, 437-1620. Just those extra ways you're keeping you and your loved ones safe as well. And we're about to get into the vaccine talk. Somebody just, it was Earl who just texted in. Hi, Earl. He asked who will be in next, I guess, for the queue of COVID vaccines in Escambia.
Oh, that's a good question, and I really don't know the answer to that question.
It's very fluid in this.
It's very fluid. The current directive is adults 65 and older, mm-hmm. and healthcare workers with direct patient contact, and those were set by the governor. And so that's, you know, when we get new orders, those will probably come from the governor as well. If they don't, then they would probably come from the federal government, one of the two, you know. But everything, you know, typically flows through the state government. So that's where we are with that. And the question, I guess, or the information that a lot of people want to know is, you know, how do I sign up or get registered to get a vaccine when I can? And the important thing is when you can, because the supply is pretty limited right now. I think that mm-hmm. is what is frustrating a lot of people, is that they would like to get the vaccine, but it's really difficult to find how to get it. So that's kind of where we are with that, is when it comes in from the state, we open up to appointments, and when we're out, we schedule appointments for the amount of vaccine that we have. And that's how we do it. So you're not going to go somewhere, show up, and wait in line for hours, and then go away with no vaccine. So you're going to get an appointment, and come on your appointment time and get a vaccine. And that's how we try to operate things here. We do have partners that help us get vaccine out in the community. So sometimes appointments might not be available from us, but some of the hospitals, I know Sacred Heart and Baptist and West Florida have all been distributing vaccine when it's available. Community Health Northwest Florida is also a big partner in this effort. So we've been very fortunate to have a lot of good partners in the community that help get this out.
I feel like we are going in the right direction. It is feeling, you know, to some people it feels slow. And the other thing I just remember, just even just in comparison with the bridge, and it doesn't even really compare, but we want it done right. We want it done safely. We want it done with excellence. You don't just want it just pushed out. We know that there are ways to produce mass vaccines, but we also know that you want it done right. You want it done safely. You want everything going through the FDA. You want it to be tested to make sure that you're getting the right ingredients too. So that patience, it sometimes is a little scary because you want it to happen for you. But just remember that sometimes the best things are worth waiting for. And to know that, you know, just another thing is like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but Florida still has a very high population of elderly people. And so when you're talking 65 and older, maybe in another state that won't be, you know, a big deal or take as long, but you're in the land of retirement, you know, and the people, we have to remember that we want our elderly to be looked after and cared for and protected. And, you know, on top of washing your hands and social distancing and being mindful of others when you're out, waiting your turn for that vaccine too, and not just the elderly, but those frontline care workers as well that go in every day and suit up to take that risk for us to be able to go to the hospital in our emergency too. You know, I had a family member in the hospital for a while, and just knowing like, okay, I am so thankful for those people who take care of her and look after her and take that risk every day going in and out so she can get the treatment she needs. You know, it'll be here before you know it, and then you'll wonder, okay, why did I gripe so much, you know? So just want to give that little bit of encouragement.
So right now, like I said, limited supply, please be patient. I appreciate that support on that. And we do know Publix is offering appointments when they have it. So you can check in with Publix on a regular basis and see when they have appointments opening. And last week, the federal government announced that they're going to be pushing out to some other retail pharmacies like Walmart and Sam's and Winn-Dixie. And maybe some other ones. So we can keep an eye on that information as it comes out. And when I have more information on that, I'll certainly be happy to share that out. And then there is the state of Florida for the Department of Health websites or facilities has instituted this kind of a call-in portal that you can register for a vaccine. And when it's available, when appointments open up, they will call out. So when I have appointments available coming up, the people that are in this queue will get calls from what we call the share care portal. And so there's a number of people can call to get into that portal. And if you have called or signed up at the health department prior to this portal opening, we have sent them that list of names to put into the queue.
Okay.
So those names will go first, and then people that call in afterward. And you can call into this 866-201-1025 number to register, or you can go to myvaccine.fl.gov and register online. So two ways to get into that queue.